Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks so much for tuning in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. So we will do a little full court, maybe a full court press. Do they even do that anymore in the NBA? I know they do that in college basketball, so I'm getting ready for it. That's when you have to talk really fast and as a play-by-play announcer, especially on the radio. But I don't know if they still do that much in the NBA. Probably not with the quality and the caliber of the athletes. However, I like a little full court press every now and then. And so we will give you the top stories coming out of the NBA on Thursday night, including an injury, albeit an unfamiliar one, for Steph Curry. But between now and then, we'll do that in about 20 minutes or so, 15 minutes or so. Between now and then, I thought we would dive into the rest of week 10 in the NFL. We have put our poll up. Producer Chris just posted it on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. And did I retweet? Nope, but I'm doing it right now. Retweeting the poll right now, A-Law Radio. What's the game you're most looking forward to this weekend in the NFL? Now, this is I don't want to say it's a mixed bag. Well, maybe that is what I'll say. That's not a negative term. Nobody can interpret that negatively, right? I have heard from some friends of mine that they don't think this particular weekend's going to be all that interesting. I will disagree. I can always find the storylines everywhere, especially as we're now fully into the second half. But I think it's a mixed bag in that you've got some games that are clear measuring sticks between the two opponents. You've got some that I think we could use the cliche trap games, so you want to be careful about those. You definitely have some divisional matchups, and that includes what would be the late doubleheader on Sunday with the Seattle Seahawks at the Los Angeles Rams in the NFC West, and then Sunday Night Football, the Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. Man, it feels like forever since the Eagles have been on the field. You know why that one matters? Because the NFC East is still wide open. The Redskins have the 5-3 lead, or the 5-3 record, and are at the top of the division right now. But sometimes they scare me. If they do not run the ball or commit to stopping the run, oh, thumbs down. Thumbs down to the offense, thumbs down to the defense, thumbs down to their chances of winning that division. When they get away from what they do well, which is running the ball and stopping the run, they're in trouble. And here's the problem. They're in trouble with some major injuries on their offensive line. So that division, as crazy as it sounds, is still up for grabs. It's still wide open for the taking. I just need someone to want to win the NFC East. I want you to want to win the NFC East. Why doesn't anybody want to win this division? So the Eagles are at 4-4. They've had a wildly inconsistent first half, just everything. If it wasn't the injury to Carson Wentz and him coming back, then it's been the defense getting picked apart. Just a weird season. And nobody really should be surprised by that, considering they're coming off a Super Bowl win. Things change, especially after it's your first Super Bowl victory in franchise history. Priorities change. Roles change. Just, it's different. But there's still time. They're only a game back of the Redskins. And then the Cowboys are only two games back. Here we are getting bombarded in the media and sports media by people who think that Jason Garrett should be fired midseason. And I'm telling you, that team still can win the NFC East.
Oh, yes.
Also, if you listen to the Cowboys radio network, Babe Laufenberg, who's a former quarterback himself in the NFL, he posted this on Twitter, and I thought I would share it with you. Now, I think if you're paying attention, you should be pretty comfortable and confident that Jerry Jones is not going to fire Jason Garrett midseason. Babe then says, no promises after that. But he points to the track record of interim head coaches, and I find this fascinating. So I'm borrowing Babe's tweet as a nerd alert. Since 2000, 31 times a coach has been fired midseason. All right, so keep that number in mind. Since 2000, that's a lot of freaking coaches fired in the middle of a season. And by middle, we don't mean dead center. We just mean before the season's over. Now, I'm thinking, does that count guys who are fired, say, with 2 weeks left? It probably does. So coaches that do not get the entire season, that are relieved of their duties before the season is over. So since 2000, it's happened 31 times. No interim coach has ever led his team to the playoffs. Wowzers.
That's nerd stuff.
I wouldn't have thought that was the stat. Now, it doesn't surprise me, but it's logical. No, it does surprise me. It's logical because you don't fire a coach when the team is really darn good. You don't fire a coach when the team is on the cusp of the playoffs. But Babe's point is that interim coaches don't turn things around in the middle of a season. I hate to break it to you, Cleveland fans. If you wanted Hugh Jackson gone, fine. You got what you wanted. But the chances that Greg Williams leads that team to a postseason berth are minuscule. As in, almost invisible. I never say impossible. There's no such thing as impossible. However, it's not likely at all. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so Babe's tweet goes on. Again, 31 times a coach has been fired in the season. No interim coach has led the team to the playoffs since 2000. And, only one of those 31 has ever finished at least two games over 500. Nerd alert! Guess who that guy was? Jason Garrett, which is the irony of this tweet from Babe Laufenberg. Again, he's the analyst, former NFL quarterback, former Cowboys quarterback on their radio network, along with Brad Sham. So no interim coach has led his team to the playoffs. Only one has finished two games over 500, and that was Jason Garrett. I don't know why, if you are the Cowboys and Cowboys fan base, Cowboys locker room, Cowboys front office, I don't know why you would think that firing Jason Garrett now would get you closer to the postseason. Now, there could be other changes. You could change who's calling the plays. I know that's come up. Sometimes that does come up. They did add Amari Cooper, so that was a change. There are other ways that you can shake up your lineup and shake up your locker room, but firing your head coach is like chopping off the head of a snake, or, ooh, even better, chopping off a chicken's head. Do you know they still run around? Thus the phrase, running around like a chicken with its head cut off.
Oh, yes.
So the team wouldn't die. It would still live, but it loses its direction. And then you've got transition, and you've got turnover, and you've got guys who think it was ridiculous, and you've got guys who, you know, you just got a locker room that's not on the same page. It's not a good idea. Just because the Browns did it doesn't mean the Cowboys should do it. I understand there's a lot of frustration, and I'm sure Jerry Jones is feeling it as well. And maybe he's closer than ever to relieving Jason Garrett of the head coaching job. But in the middle of the season, bad idea. That division is still up for grabs. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. And so you've got Cowboys and Eagles, which is the game that I voted for as the one I'm most looking forward to going into week 10, the rest of week 10, probably I would have said Steelers and Panthers if it were not a Thursday night game. Interesting wrinkle for the Eagles into week 10 is how quickly can Golden Tate be ready to go as another option for Carson Wentz. And, of course, he's been working as much as he possibly can, similar to the Amari Cooper situation, like it was with Josh Gordon in New England. You're trying to cram in as much as you possibly can. It's like studying for an exam and waiting till the last second and then stuffing your brain full of all the information you possibly can.
I'm going to tell you, he's been in here every day. He and Brew and Mike Rowe, I mean, you know, even myself, we've kind of tackled him every single day. And so trying to get him caught up to some just our terminology, the way we call things, how we line up. But he's been awesome.
I'm looking forward to seeing Golden Tate on the field with Carson Wentz and the Eagles offense. It's interesting. It'll definitely be one of the prevailing storylines of this NFL season that we've had some high-profile, name-recognized wide receivers change teams. Will any of them end up making a major difference? I would safely say, without worrying about eating any kind of crow, that the Josh Gordon deal to the Patriots is working out. And so I'm looking forward to seeing the DT, the Demaryius Thomas, the Golden Tate. Obviously, the Amari Cooper. I mean, I wrote an entire column about that one because I'm positive it was an upgrade for the Cowboys. And so here's an opportunity to see two of them on the field come week number 10, Sunday Night Football, NFC East style. All right, so you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. What is the game you're most looking forward to in week 10? And I see that producer Chris put a spot up on our Facebook page, which features all the games. So whatever matchup you're most interested in, fire away on Facebook too. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Straight ahead, there's a new injury, a new unfamiliar injury for one Steph Curry, plus an epic comeback in the desert, shall we say, where the home team was not hot, the opposite of hot in the second half. And I promise producer Chris a full review on Space Jam, which means he's going to get it sometime this hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Your nightly fix of pivotal playoff action. It's time to count down to the crown.
James Harden stuck the triple. That was a steaming pile of awesome.
Right hand slam for Kevin Durant. Got it. Cha-ching and thunder, buddy ball.
Slam while rising. The tomahawk throwdown.
Turnaround three on the way.
Oh, he banked it in. LeBron James banked it in.
Oh, my word.
Shot.
Westbrook gives the Thunder the victory.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
It was a light night on the NBA hard court, but a couple of critical storylines emerging as we head into the weekend. It's the weekend that's just two weekends before Thanksgiving weekend. I'm still processing that. I'm chewing on it. I'm trying. I'm doing my absolute best. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So the Houston Rockets are struggling. Stop me if you've heard this before. It's been a major theme for the first 3 weeks or so to the season, and they're definitely struggling to score. So the offensive end of the court, that's where they're really scuffling, and it hurts when you're missing your MVP. Fifth time in seven games, the Rockets failed to score at least 100 points. However, here's the kicker. On Thursday night, they lose in Oklahoma City, where there's no Russell Westbrook. So you know what the Thunder do when they don't have Russell Westbrook? Well, they focus on the defense. So it makes sense. When you don't have your high-powered Energizer Bunny who makes everything go, you best make sure your opponent doesn't go off offensively.
Number three.
Steven hands to George. Leans in, launches, 20-footer straight away. He rips the cords, my goodness, barely set his feet. Across his body, lofted and stuck a beauty. Felton handles out near midcourt. Crosses over on Green, barrels down the lane, leans in, floats a fadeaway. In there from 7 feet out. Raymond Felton off the bounce, goes playground and has six.
Not just Raymond Felton off the bounce, but how about Raymond Felton off the bench for double figures? 10 points for him as he was able to pick up some quality minutes and have a good shooting night. Also has an assist in there. And Paul George, it's a thing of beauty. Well, not from three-point land. Nobody shot well from three-point land in this game. In fact, there were a lot of clangs. However, he had 20 points to lead six different Thunder players in double figures. And listen to this. 20 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, and 6 steals. And for the Thunder, they're able to work on this win streak that they've got going here and do it even though they don't have Russell Westbrook. So it's critical they all stick together, stick to the game plan. You've got, really, in this particular game, two opposite ends of the spectrum.
Being professional, understanding what we need to do. Guys really got their rest, took care of their bodies. Just having the urgency of just wanting to win. You know, I think that's the way we're playing right now. We're playing like we're hungry, and we just got to keep them.
You know, it all adds up. At the end of the day, it adds up. I think the first thing, we just got to start. We got to start imposing our will and get our swagger. And, you know, a lot of it is mental energy, and we got to find a happy spot and then go compete. We're not quite there yet.
Even with James Harden back on the court, they're still not in a rhythm and groove, right? So they didn't have him for a while, and he just hasn't found that step yet. And so whatever malaise they started the season with and it went through, they just haven't been able to break out of it. So listen to this number. The Rockets were 11 of 42 from three-point land. Why take 42 if you're sucking it up that bad? I will never understand that. I get it. You think if you're a shooter that you're just going to fire your way out of it. But how about take a dunk? How about take a layup? How about get a higher percentage shot that's closer to the basket? 11 of 42? That's why, if you're stubborn as sin, that you live by the three, you also die by the three. Now, the Thunder weren't that much better, but they did have a steady offense. And they've now won 7 in a row, even though Westbrook has been out back-to-back games with a sprained left ankle. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I don't know if I mentioned it, but Matt Pinto with the call on the Thunder Radio Network. Sticking in the Western Conference, first loss of the year at Oracle for the defending NBA champions.
Number 2.
55-43, Giannis back to the basket, working on Kevon Looney. Into the lane, spins to the rim and scores. Nobody can stop that. Curry misses again. Here come the Bucks. Giannis driving on Damian Jones. Slam and a foul. Here's a drive by Connaughton, and he slams it right on the head of Jordan Bell.
Ouch.
Boy, Pat Connaughton has got some hops, folks. In the corner, Tony Snell hits a three, the ninth of the game. And that's the cherry on top of the sundae. 134-109.
Ted Davis on the Bucks Radio Network. How about this? They storm into Oracle. And when I saw the halftime score, I thought, what? Okay, that's a little odd, but I'm sure the Warriors are going to rally. Actually, no, the Warriors did not rally. So they gave up 64 points in the first half to the Bucks. Giannis pacing the team with 24 overall. Eric Bledsoe at 26, though. Brogdon with 20. And Connaughton off the bench with his hops and his 15. So they had a really balanced attack. 64 points in the first half. And then in the third quarter, 41 points on the board. So they came out guns a-blazing in the third quarter. And the Warriors had absolutely no answer. The Bucks are one of the hottest teams for the first several weeks of the NBA season, now at 9-2. And what I appreciate about this team is they've got a lot of different ways they can beat you, a lot of different guys who will take the big shot or who will be the go-to guys if they need it.
I feel like we're one of the best teams out there. We're playing like it. We dropped one, like I said, in Portland. But, you know, we still believe we're one of the best teams out there. So we'll go out there and take the court and try to win on the road in tough situations. We're down. We're going to fight to come back.
The Warriors dropped their first game at home, only their second game overall. So they are at 10-2, while the Bucks are now at 9-2. But this is a statement win for a team that's attempting to infiltrate that upper echelon of NBA teams who's got a genuine superstar in Giannis. And, again, a really nice supporting cast is not fair, but you get my point. It makes the point. You hear Chris Middleton there, 17 points, 6 assists, and 3 steals. They're playing really well, and they feel like they can beat anyone. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Well, as I say, beat anyone, you know, any team can beat any other team on any given night. And as I was listening to the Celtics and the Suns, and it was a 20-point spread at the half, I was thinking, all right, it's one of those nights when the Celtics just don't got it. And the Suns, they had in their first half at home 55 points against Boston. So not only was Boston not shooting well, but their defense wasn't worth a darn. Well, things completely changed in the second half when, listen to this, the Celtics come out and put 65 on the board in the second half, outscoring the Suns by 20. Oh, wait a minute. If you do the quick math, that means free basketball.
Number one.
Kyrie's got it. Steps to his left. Returns to the open bars. Three in the air.
Oh!
Got it! And with 3/10 of a second remaining, the Boston Celtics have found the Boston Celtics of a year ago. They've come from 22 down to tie it. Kyrie stutter step, takes Ayton with him. High floater up and in with the left hand.
Oh, Kyrie, don't do that. That was nasty. Oh, I smell some on my shoes.
37 for Kyrie. Suns wanted a foul, didn't get it. Celtics by 3. Here's Kyrie. Eurostep in the paint. Whips it out to the wing. Marcus Morris puts it to the floor. Drives around Booker. Gets to the cup. Lays it in. And the Celtics have their first 2-possession lead of the night.
Wowzers. And it turned into a 116-109 victory. They were down at most by 22 in this game. Not only forced overtime, but then outscored the Suns in the OT. At that point, you can imagine the Suns felt like they were already defeated because they gave up that huge lead. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell, it was exciting there at the end on the Celtics radio network. Kyrie Irving, 39 points in 43 minutes. He was a monster.
It was definitely kill time, you know, just want to come out aggressive, make sure I make the right plays, both ends of the floor, and just, you know, play to my strengths as well as trust my teammates. I think that's the most important thing that we're starting to figure out is just, it's not about who scores, it's just about the trust, making that extra pass, making a play, and having confidence. That's really what it comes down to.
I've heard of the kill zone. I don't know that I've ever heard of kill time. Kyrie Irving with 18 of his season-high 39 points in the fourth quarter and overtime. So, yes, indeed, that was kill time in the kill zone. And Boston rallies from 22 down to beat the Suns on Thursday. Once Irving essentially got the bit, to use a horse analogy, he was off and running, and there was no stopping him. So pretty amazing. Now, Devin Booker had 38 points in this one for the Suns, but the Celtics able to end their 2-game skid and just make the Suns feel even worse about life and about themselves after their start to the season. By the way, Kyrie Irving killed time on NBC Boston following the game. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. As I mentioned, not a whole lot happening in the NBA on Thursday night. However, one injury of note coming from the defending champions. The Warriors did not have Steph Curry at the end of their game because he left with a leg injury that was later identified as more of a groin injury. So the Warriors didn't have him later in the game. His teammates, they kind of hedged their bets afterwards. But I saw a quote from Curry himself where he indicated, if this was an ankle, because, you know, he's had problems with his ankles in the past. If this was an ankle, I could tell you 4 days or 10 days. But it's something I'm familiar with. I've never had a groin injury, this type of a sprain or, you know, this type of a pain. So who knows? He definitely does miss games. He usually will miss a handful. And last year was rough. He only played in 51 games during the regular season. They're not devoid of talent without him, but he is the engine that makes them go and that keeps them all together. And he's obviously had an incredible start to the season too. So we'll see what happens with Steph Curry and his groin injury. And maybe it'll be a little more defined by Friday in terms of what he actually did to himself. All right. You can find our Week 10 NFL poll on Twitter, After Hours CBS or A-Law Radio. And you can also weigh in on our Facebook page. Coming up, I promised producer Chris that I would give him my full review on Space Jam. Yeah, I just saw it for the first time this week. I know. Don't send me any type of tweets. Don't at me. But I did promise I would give him my full review. Plus, some of you waiting on the phones want to talk about Football Friday, the weekend coming up, and of course, the NBA. Who doesn't want to talk about the Bucks over the Warriors? Because that was like the Super Bowl.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'll get to the full Space Jam review coming up, but I promised producer Chris that I would watch the movie. I finally did, and I'm fully prepared to give you my opinion of it. However, we've got a couple calls we want to take. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. And if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. We're asking you, what's the game you're most looking forward to this weekend in the NFL? And then anything else you want to talk about, because we're heading into a Football Friday, and football tends to make us happy. At least us here on the show. Steve is listening in Green Bay. Steve, welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the other night I heard your middle name was Dolores, and I was just wanted to say that's all cool because my mom's name is Dolores, and we always call her D.
Mm. Yes, well, my mother did borrow it from her favorite aunt, and so it definitely is a name that would fit that generation.
Yeah. But I'm so pumped up because the Bucks, when they played the
Warriors,
a couple weeks ago, they literally destroyed them. That was the team that, you know, a couple of years ago that we couldn't get past, and in the playoffs, and now we went into the Warriors, and it really was a statement game, and in all fairness too. I know that Seth Curry went out in middle of the third quarter with his groin injury, but shortly thereafter, maybe 4 minutes later, they took Giannis out because Giannis had five fouls against him, so they just sat him and they let the rest of the guys play, and Snell and Brogdon and Brooks Lopez that they picked up, who's been phenomenal, and this. Connaughton
out of Notre Dame.
He's unbelievable. He's fit in great. And the new coach, Budenholzer, he just told the guys, you know, from what I've been reading the papers, is just, if you're open, shoot the ball. And it's like, they've been doing we've been missing the 3-point game for so long. And so we were able to match up with them tonight, and I was just like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. You know, when Curry left the game, we were up by 23, 25 points. I was like, I can't believe this. You know, it's like, this is unreal. Every team has a bad night. I understand that, but I'm looking forward to the Bucks taking the East. I know.
Man, November. It's November. Are you really already excited about the playoffs?
I'm looking for us to take the East. I really am.
Okay.
I think that we have the firepower with all the young guys that we have. Brogdon was 2 years ago was Rookie of the Year, and you got Eric Bledsoe, Giannis, and Chris Middleton. I really think that we're going to take the East this year and be able to face the Warriors. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're excited. That's the fun part, is when you have a team that's a contender and there's a lot to be excited about, which this team definitely has some great young talent, really balanced too with a legit superstar. So yeah, they're gaining more traction, and to have a win like this early in the season, while it doesn't mean a whole lot extra, what it does is give you confidence, and certainly the fact that you can do it at Oracle where the Warriors are so hard to beat. It's great for that locker room. So good. I'm glad you're happy.
And the defense. I mean, every time they were shooting three-pointers and stuff, it just seemed like, you know, I think I heard one stat. They were at one point, they were 8 out of 30 or something like that. But a lot of it was, you know, there was a lot of shots being slapped, you know, out of the air, you know, and I was like, we have so much length. You know, they mm-hmm. talk about length, and our guys got so much length. I'm just totally pumped up this year. I really think the Bucks are going to do it. So I was just wondering if you thought that.
Don't ask me if I think they're going to take the East.
What's that?
Don't ask me if I think they're going to take the East. It's not even Thanksgiving yet.
Okay, well, I know the Celtics and the Raptors are tough, but like I said, we destroyed the Raptors.
It doesn't matter. It's October and November. I'm glad you're happy. I'm going to move on to some football, but I would say, hey, just let the season play out. One injury can change anything to any locker room, so it's a long season. The point is to continue to play well, to continue to find chemistry and cohesion, and for them to be ready for the postseason when it gets here. But the postseason doesn't start till mid-April, so you got a long way to go. But I'm glad you're enjoying it. Thanks, Steve.
You bet.
Corey is listening in Atlanta. Corey, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy. It's always a pleasure to hear you.
Thank you.
I heard Nerd Alert coming out of the speakers a couple of times at me, and I thought you'd be interested in this. Atlanta at 1 o'clock against the Browns, the Falcons, and then you got United against New York, New Jersey. And matinee.
New York, New Jersey, what?
And MLS.
New York, New Jersey, what?
The New York Red Bulls. I'm sorry.
Okay, the Red Bulls. All right, gotcha.
Yeah, and then for the final course, you got the Hawks hosting the Lakers.
Okay.
And I want you to give a prediction of what percentage of chance of Atlanta winning all three of those.
No, I don't do predictions, man. I mean, I'll listen to yours, and I can imagine it would be a really great day, but I don't do predictions. They're just guesses.
But in a town where there's nothing but college football, I thought that was pretty interesting, all three of those things going on in one day.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. It happened for Los Angeles not that long ago. There was a day where all five professional teams in the city were playing on the same day, which is kind of cool. It's a lot of excitement, too. And I think the way the Falcons are playing right now, I'm not going to give you some excitement about the Hawks. And certainly the Atlanta United have been great all season. But the way the Falcons are playing right now is awesome. I mean, they've been in a groove offensively, but they are starting to get healthier on defense. They've found, some good replacements. They've kind of found their footing after losing a few guys to big injuries. And, that division, while it's got two really good teams ahead of it, obviously, in the Saints and the Panthers, though they took a smack in the face, fact is that in the NFC overall, because there aren't any other divisions where you've got multiple teams like the South does that are pacing the field, the wild cards are they're up for grabs. It's going to be fierce the rest of the way. But if you think about the Falcons win this week, let's just say for the sake of argument, they win their fourth consecutive game. They're at 5-4. The Seahawks are going into the weekend against the Rams, so that's a tough game for them. They could be below 500. You've got the Vikings and the Bears, who each have 5 wins, but not out of reach. And then you've got the Eagles, who are at 4-4. So pretty much everybody is in the same area. They're all occupying the same real estate outside of those division leaders.
If there was ever such a thing as parity, you got it right now.
Oh, there is such a thing, and the NFL has it all the time. Thanks,
absolutely.
Corey. I hope you
always
enjoy
pleasure,
your Sunday.
Dear.
Thank you. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. What's the game you're most looking forward to this weekend in the NFL? You certainly can take our poll or weigh in on Facebook. And if you want to talk college football, you can do that too. Now that we're into that part of the season where we start to get those college football playoff rankings every week. Though it's a little bit odd that the SEC championship is already set. That should tell you something about the conference and about how things are playing out. All right, so I've got, 2 minutes here to be able to tell you what I think of Space Jam. I told you the music is amazing. Love the music. And I had no idea there were so many household names in this movie. So you have pretty much every Looney Tune on the planet. And you've got awesome music from start to finish. I Believe I Can Fly is an iconic song for sure. And For You I Will is another song. Was that Monica? I think that's Monica. I used to sing that song. such throwback. I think I have that on a cassette tape somewhere. So I loved all the Looney Tunes. I thought it was really funny. The Monstars, they were great. And the way that... The way that Charles Barkley and Patrick Ewing and Larry Johnson and Muggsy Bogues... Oh, and Sean Bradley, right? That was the fifth one. The way they all played their roles of having completely lost their basketball talents, I thought they were great. So I had no idea how many big-name basketball players as well as stars were in this movie, like Bill Murray. He was awesome. And Michael Jordan was so good. Man, he looked skinny. It's like you have to remember how trim and lean he was back then, but it was awesome to see him play basketball again, even though it was in a movie. And I will tell you, the part that made me laugh the most... Other than the golfing with Larry Bird, of course, because he's got a – he's like Peyton Manning with a hidden talent in the when it comes to the comedic timing. But I loved Moron Mountain. What did I tell you when I came to work after watching the movie? That's it. We're creating an after-hours Moron Mountain. There has to be some way that we can send people to Moron Mountain. Doesn't mean you are a moron. It just means you did something that was moronic. And so that's not to mention alliteration. That's my new goal for the show. I want a feature called Moron Mountain. So, yes, I love the movie. I can't believe it took me so long to watch it, but I now feel like I've been initiated into the Space Jam Club.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.